Real deal. Real deal. Real. The real. The real. We're going to deal with that today. All right, man, I'll tell you what. Y'all ready? There's a word I want you to grab today. It's revelation. I mean, it's a word we don't use much. You know, I mean, you don't, in everyday conversation, people aren't walking around saying, hey, what has been revealed to you today? Are you a part of a revelation? But I want us to go to that first chapter of Galatians, verse 11. And I really want you to ask yourself today, how does Jesus need to reveal himself to me? That I am a part of God's revelation. Okay, and so here's what we're looking at today. When you become a part of Jesus' revelation, then you will join God's revolution. You see, we ought to be a people of revolution, meaning this. We want people's lives to be changed, okay? Now, I want you to get, if you're going to hang out at Hillview, you got to get a Hillview attitude. All right, there's just some things you got to do, you know. You got to get this attitude. I want people to go to heaven because I worship a God that has made a way to heaven. How many of you all want somebody to end up in heaven? You want to tell them about heaven. Heaven ought to be a cool place to hang out. How many of y'all kind of got that picture? It ought to be heaven. Now, I got to tell you this funny story. His church one time was looking for a pastor. His pastor, the first candidate, you know, he's a young pastor. He's a fiery pastor. And man, he got up there and he preached. And guess what he preached on? Hell. He preached on hell, buddy. He lit them up on the flames. And Chase, he told them what degree it was down there. I mean, he just really preached on hell. Well, they got done. They said, the boy was pretty good, but we don't know, Bobby. We don't know about this boy. So they brought in the second candidate. Guess what he preached on? He preached on hell too. Well, after he got done, you know what? The committee made their decision. And they went with the second guy. Well, the first guy was furious. They said, well, how did he get to be the pastor and I wasn't the pastor? I preached on hell and he preached on hell. And they looked at him and said, yeah, but you preached on hell like you wanted everybody to go. You see, this ought to not be our attitude. We ought to not be excited that folks would turn away for God, but man, we ought to be jazzed up. I mean, I'm talking lit up. I have to confess this. This is hard confession. Y'all pray for me right now. I got to confess something. Lord. UK. Really does have a good basketball team. Now, it's hard for me to confess that, but I've noticed something. It's just been amazing to me this year. UK Apparel has decorated this church like it has not in the last 6 years. It's like underground UK fans have all just sprouted to life in this basketball season. I mean, you get them one Italian coach, and then you go get them a second Italian coach, and they're back to life again. I saw Tim Murley. Some of y'all know Tim. If you don't know Tim, you can look him up. He's Warren County school superintendent. And he came into men's ministry wearing a windbreaker that was a 1981 or 82 UK model windbreaker. That's how long he had that thing hit out before he put it back. You know, but all of a sudden there's this energy. And guess what? What is it, 28-2, 29-2? Huh? 27-2. I mean, hey, we got it. That's unreal, isn't it? I mean, other than a little problem with Tennessee yesterday, that's unreal, isn't it? I mean, that's amazing. I mean, wow. But guess what? People are beginning to get what? They want all UK fans. They only have one thing on their mind. What is it? Huh? Not just win. Win what? Not just win big. Win what? They win championship. They win it all. I mean, that's what they're about. I mean, they spend money to win a championship. Everything they do is about winning a championship. If you were ever to go to the New York Yankees training facilities. Guess what? The soap in the bathroom has championship on it. Because what are they dedicated to? A championship. You get around Bill Gates, guess what? He's about making money. I mean, he doesn't just do stuff to not do. He's got an attitude. Can you imagine if Jesus was revealed that significantly to us, what would we do with Jesus? Now, I love the Apostle Paul. It's an interesting guy. Once again, let me remind you, the Apostle Paul is a scholar. He's an intellect. Don't tell me intellects don't follow Jesus. Paul would have been brilliant of brilliant for his time. He is exposed. He is the latest. He knows things. The Apostle Paul would have had one of those cool phones that could do everything. He was up on edge on technology, all right? He was there. He wanted you to know. He wanted you to be a part. He wanted you to hear about who? Jesus. Because let me show you what happened to him. When you take Jesus out of the human understanding and allow Jesus to become your revelation, your faith will move. Let's just be honest. A lot of us got a cardboard Jesus. We know about him. We've heard about him. We've been to church. We've sung about him. We got Jesus at a distance. That's not where he wants to live. He wants to live as a revelation to your condition. Look what happened to Paul, verse 11, chapter 1 in Galatians. He said, now let me tell you something. I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preached is not something that man made up. How many of y'all glad to know that man, humanity, did not make Jesus up? Yes, now, you really know why man can't make him up? Because check this out. Jesus made you up. How many of y'all believe Jesus made you up? I do. I believe Jesus made you up. You know, people sometimes want to bring me into this argument with abortion. It's really simple for me. Humans don't make people. God does. God uses humans to make people, but women don't make people and men don't make people. We just kind of participate in God's, you know, human creative process, which I think right there ought to show you he's a good God. And he's created wonderful things. But it is God that brings what? Life. How many of y'all believe that? God made you up. Look at your neighbor and say, God made you up. Come on, testify a minute. God made you up. Now see, some of us don't like this because we go, well, Pastor Steve, I'm not in control. That's my point. You're not. We never will be, Sherry. You're exactly right. We are not in control. I don't care how many Priuses you drive. The world is still God's. We've lost our absolute brain. I knew what was coming next. I just knew yesterday. How many of y'all were waiting for the tsunami to hit? Did anybody tune in there? I was freaked out yesterday. I was coming back from one of my favorite places in the world, the Barren River Lake. I'm a simple man. And we were returning from there but I was working up there. I wasn't playing. I was working. It's time to work so you can play later. And we were working up there, and I called my wife. I'm headed back to the house, and she goes, there's going to be a tsunami in Hawaii. And I thought she had been sent psychic revelations or something. I didn't know. I said, how do you know there's going to be a tsunami? She said, well, I'm watching the news, and there's been an earthquake in Chile, and which is going to cause this. And so, you know, she said, you need to get home. I think it was going to hit us, honey, but I'm going to get there. But now we watched the TV, and guess what? It didn't do what they thought it might do. Now, I just want to let you know something. I watched a lot of people. Why were we watching this tsunami? Any NASCAR fans in here? There's only one reason you watch NASCAR. What is it? Mayhem. That's exactly right. I don't ever watch. I mean, if NASCAR is just like, if it's Sunday afternoon like that, after about the 30th, Now, if we're coming around, especially Talladega, and we get up there on that upper bank, then all of a sudden it's boom, 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 boom. For some reason, I'm a sick man. That excites me to see metal flying all over a track. Now, we're from the South. We appreciate that. If you're from sophisticated areas of the world, they go, what all them rednecks like was singing them fast cars running around that track for? Because we do. Do you notice there is no health food served at that event either? Have you noticed that? It's the only place, NASCAR race, you can get a fried Snickers bar. Better known as death on a stick. Only in the South would you fry a Snickers bar. Yeah, crazy. Paul said, what I'm teaching you, what I'm preaching you, does not come from you. It does not come from me. God made you up. God put you together. Now let me let you know something. There will not be a 16-hour warning to the end of time. The time for response is now. Now, I want you to know here at Hillview, man, we love you. We want you to go to heaven. We want you to be made up. First of all, learn you've been made up by God. And then secondly, learn that God wants to remake you through grace. We want you to know those two things like the back of your hand. That's a part of the revelation that God will do in you. Does that make sense? So when we receive Christ into our lives, does he do a real work? Absolutely. Paul said, wait a minute, you can't monkey with the gospel. We didn't make it up. He said, I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by a revelation from Jesus Christ. How many of y'all need to receive Jesus? You need to receive it. I mean, really receive it. Scott, can I use you as a prop? You don't embarrass easy, so I mean, I'm not going to do anything bad. I just want to show y'all something. Y'all ready to learn something today? How many of y'all have had people tell you this? They say, well, you need to accept Jesus. Paul didn't use that language. If you really check the New Testament, he didn't use that language. He said, I need to what? Receive it. Now, let me show you how salvation works here. Come up here, Scott. You're not an embarrassing kind of fellow. You don't need anything with you but you. How do we come to Christ? By just what we have. Yeah, that's good. Now, come on. Don't get that dramatic. Just come up here. All right, look here. See, yeah, absolutely. I like a praise and worship God. Now, let's say this right here is salvation. This is salvation. It's the Word of God. The only reason the Word of God is salvation is why? You tell me. The only reason this book is salvation is why? It's not a trick question. Just tell me. Who's in the book? Jesus. There you go. Tell your neighbor it's Jesus in the book. That's what I want. Watch this. Now, hold on. You know why y'all hesitated? Because you all been taught, say, hey, listen, it's not a bad thing. You've been taught the book over the Lord of the book. In fact, I'm going to do a movie one day. Instead of Lord of the Rings, I'm going to talk about Lord of the book. Okay, see, a lot of us, guess what? And we go to these little Christian groups, and they get us all about the what? It's all about the Lord of the book. I don't worship my compass. I don't worship my compass, but I got to have it because it leads me to my destination. Now, here's what Paul did, Scott. He said, any person who receives Jesus will live in a gospel. You got to receive this gospel. Well, let's look for a minute. Scott, do you accept that this is a black book?
Yes.
Do you accept that this book is true?
Yes.
Do you accept that this book is made from genuine leather, or if you're in the South, genuine leather?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Yes, okay. You accept those things?
Yes.
All right. Use the book. Use this book. Okay, use it. Ah. Now, isn't that where a lot of you are in your faith right now? I mean, some of you say, well, man, Pastor Steve, you don't say, it's so hard to activate my faith. Why am I not growing in my faith? Well, let's check. Have you accepted Jesus or have you received him? Is there a difference? Now, according to the scripture, Scott, it says if we ask Y'all been to Bible study? Good. If we ask God, we what? Now, he's accepted. Seth, did you see that? He accepted it, right? Genuine cowhide leather cover. And you could preach about how you accept this is real. But right now, you don't have access to use it, correct? You are a part of its understanding, but you're not a part of its revelation. Paul said, I had a revelation. Now, how do you receive it, Scott? Well, let's just receive it. You're going to receive this book. How you receive it? Put your hand down. You ain't got nothing to do with it. See, this is what we do with our salvation.
I believe.
Oh. And I say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need you.
Oh.
Now what has he got?
He's got a broom.
Hey, salvation will bruise you. I love it. Now, hold on. Can Scott use this book? Could he do anything in here that says? Are all things possible? Why? He received it. Thank you, Scott. Y'all give him a hand. It's wonderful. Now, Paul didn't say, I've accepted the principles of the gospel. He said, I have received them. They are not around me. They are in me. Big difference. What does it tell us to do with the Holy Spirit? Bingo. Not accept its existence, but receive it's what? Power. What did Jesus tell the saints? He said, go to the upper room until you receive what, John Paul? Power. Now, here's what we want to do. We want to talk about what we've yet to receive. Now, when you receive it, you're on. When you receive power from God, you're on. When you truly receive it, it's going to come out of you. Isn't that the way it worked for you, my brother? I saw you come out. Guess what? My brother came out of that baptistry. He's been here ever since. I hadn't told you to come back to church, have I? Leonard, I don't tell you to come to church, do I?
No, sir.
Why? Guess what? I don't have to tell saved people to come to church. I won't have to tell saved people that the rapture's on the way. They'll feel the vibration. Now, I have to tell the church people to get saved. Hear how I said that. I have to tell a lot of church people to get saved. Because they've been observing the gospel. But they're yet to what? Now, be careful with that, because remember it says on the day of judgment, many will say, Lord, Lord, and he'll go, I don't know you. And we'll say, but Lord, I went to Hillview. I mean, Christmas and Easter. Lord, I went to church. Now, I never did anything else you said, but I attended church. Lord, I was trying to save myself. And he said, well, then you didn't really receive the gospel, because the first step in the gospel is realizing you can't save yourself and I need Jesus to save me. Then you live it out. Instead of worry about it. Amen. How many of y'all need to make that trade today? You need to quit worrying about your life and just live it out. Just live it out. Amen. Just live it out. Man, I hope you want to live your life out. Because here's what God did. Guess what he did? He changed Paul's direction. Paul said, I did a 180. He said, you may remember me. I used to persecute the church. Let me tell you about the church. For you have heard of my previous ways of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. Let me note something here. I'm not going to hang here very long. You will not destroy the church. Now, you can damage its reputation, but you cannot destroy its revelation. You cannot destroy what you didn't make up. God made the church up. Isn't that neat? I hear people all the time.
That Pastor Steve, what do you think about that pastor that did such and such?
I said, he did a wrong deed. He did exactly what God asked him not to do. He messed up just like I messed up. He messed up, but the church isn't messed up because he's not in charge of the church. Jesus is. You will not destroy the church. You know, I got people, listen, I mean, they're madder than hornets. They left Hillview and they just got mad. Because guess what they said? They said, Pastor Steve, when I leave, this church will never be the same. And it wasn't. It got better. That's true. Now, I want those people to go to heaven. I just don't want them to attend Hillview. Why? They're not into seeing people saved. They didn't have the attitude. They didn't want that. But guess what really depressed them? They thought because they weren't here, it was all going to fall apart. It's God's church. Let Jesus' revelation be wide open in you. Now, let me show you some things it does. When you let God reveal, you'll not be what you used to be. You can persecute the church, but you cannot destroy it. Paul realized, I've come against what God established. That will not last. That all excites you. Watch this. If God's established your marriage, check this out. And I truly believe, I say this honestly, I love my wife dearly, but I'm going to tell you what, God has kept us married. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, if it was just left up to my beautiful personality, do you think we'd have stayed married for everything? No, I don't think it is. I think there's an intervention of God's revelation. Now, I tell you that because guess what? Some of y'all need to realize, hang on. God has put you together. Let him get you through. Anybody need to hear that today? God's put you together. Bobby, you love the Lord. Have you had to have God to keep you married? Yeah. I mean, Robin's probably better at it than you are, but God's what? He's held you there. This revelation is not something that's a little bit. It's wide open. Let God reveal his strength in your dilemma. Paul said, I once was, but now I'm not. I persecuted the church, said the apostle, but now I don't. Look what he says. I'm going to sum it up down here. What you try to destroy, God may have you testify to. Look at here. He goes on and says, I'm zealous. I was zealous for Judaism. I hung out. I advanced beyond my peers. I was a 4.0 student with a 32 ACT in Judaism. But it did not lead to life. God leads us to life. Look what Paul realized. We're going to sum up here. You ready? Look at verse 22. Later, I went on to Caesarea and Cilicia, and look what happened. I was personally unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard the report. The man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they praised God because of me. Now, how many of y'all have had that kind of turnaround? You were trying to show everybody how it wasn't true, and it ended up that truth became a revelation to you. I remember in seminary, I was trying to prove that a spiritual gift didn't exist. And I had written a whole paper on this certain spiritual gift that didn't exist. And as I was writing the paper, the gift showed up in my life. And so I had to turn in the paper and I had to say, listen, I don't believe anything I've just written, but here's the paper. I didn't have time to write another one. And I said, probably if I told you what happened to me, you'd kick me out of this seminary. So here it is. You know what I found? We're not in charge. God is. God reveals what God wants to reveal. God establishes what God establishes, and no person can take that away. Nobody. That's what we need to understand. Now, simple altar call today. You ready? Are you a part of God's revelation? Has he revealed to you that he died on the cross and you can be forgiven? Has he revealed to you that you personally can repent of your sins and be forgiven? Has God revealed to you that it will happen in your life and you need to hang on? Young people, don't grow frustrated. For those of you in the university, you know how it works. You have introduction, you have your first round of tests, you get a fall break or spring break, Then you have another round of tests. You got some papers. You got some finals. Guess what? You do that enough times, one day they call you a graduate. So let me give you some encouragement. After you graduate from college, guess who cares? Your parents. That's it. The only reason they care is they don't have to pay for it anymore. That's it. I'm telling you the truth. When I got people now, they're coming out of college going, I got a college degree. Yeah, so does several other billion people. What are you going to do with your life? What are you going to step in and be revealed of? Note three things that happened today. God revealed, not man. God revealed the gospel in Jesus. Not humans revealed the gospel. Paul received the gospel, and because he received the gospel, he quit doing what was deadly and started proclaiming what brought life. That'll go on in you. I promise you, you'll quit doing what's killing you, and you'll start living in what's taking you to heaven. That'll be one of the revolutionary processes of the revolution. Let it happen. Let Christ be revealed in you today. Amen? Amen. Hey, I'm done. Any questions? Y'all got any questions? Lord have mercy, it's 12:01. We've never got finished at 12:01. This is like a tsunami may be hitting Bowling Green right now. What's this? I think God gave us room at the altar today. Amen?
That's right.
He gave us room at the altar. I agree, don't you? Steve, I think he gave us room at the altar today. Listen, if you have never come to know Jesus, watch. How many of y'all realize you've sinned? How many of y'all that far along? Balcony, any of y'all sinned up there? Huh? Five of you? Y'all lying? Listen, come on, you know we do, man. We've all messed up. We need Jesus. We need Jesus. We need to be real. Jesus is what? Real. You ready to Revelation? How many of y'all right now need to say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. I believe you died on the cross. You've risen on the grave. You know what? That's a great Bobby. That's, hey, how many times in your ministry have I said, Bobby, that's it? You know why? All the ministers want to wander over here. Well, is it this? Well, is it this? Is it? No, it's this. Jesus died on the cross. He's risen from a grave. That's it.
Well, what about the spiritual gifts?
Jesus died on the cross and he rose from the grave. Guess what the spiritual gifts are for? They're to throw a spotlight on Jesus dying on the cross and rising from the grave. So I hope, Hillview, that we'll become a revolution. I want you to join me in prayer. If y'all stand up, we got a strategy, but it's a quick strategy. Minute strategy here. Next week, I'm going to have some high-tech technology up here on this altar. It's going to be a 3x5 index card. Does anybody have a 3x5 index card with them? You know, on them right now? Man, I really needed one right now. Lucy, you're a sweetheart. Now, this is going to blow some of y'all away. Elizabeth grew up in the 80s. I grew up even before that, but she grew up in the 80s, what she tells us all. Although we graduated together. Back when Elizabeth went to high school, now, Stahl, you were in the same era. You know what this was right here? It's the iPhone. This was a ThinkPad, a touchpad, note card, flash card. How many of y'all remember that? If you remember that, you're some of the oldest people that attend 11 o'clock service. It's right here. Right here it was. Now, you know what I like about these? Never have to recharge them. Now, they're kind of like the iPhone. You can write on them this way, or you can flip them and write on them that way. See, yeah, that technology is not new. These were easy. They slid right in a pocket. Okay? Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do with these. Next Sunday, this will start happening. There's going to be a number on this high technology right here. Be like number 370. And I want you to come pick you up a card, and I want you to put it in your Bible, and I want you to bring it to the altar with you at times. And guess what? Andrew, who knows, you may get 375. And you're going to bring 375 up here and say, Dear Lord, I don't know who 375 is. I don't know what 375's doing. I don't even know where they were. I don't even know if they're sitting next to me. But God, I want to pray for the 375th baptism
whoever that person is, I want to start praying ahead of it right now. Seven, you know what number I'm going to give you? 22,000. Keep you praying a long time. Not really. Did y'all realize that could happen next week? No, I'm not joking. That could happen next week. But I want to start praying for these folks that don't know Jesus. It looks like to me everybody got pretty cranked up about that tsunami yesterday. They got all on. Oh no, why, man, it's going to hit the beaches. What's going to go on? Let me tell you about a tsunami. Jesus is coming. And he's going to blow a trumpet, and he's not going to give a warning. He said this is the way his warnings look. Like a thief in the night. Now, how many of y'all have ever had a burglar call you up and said, hey, listen, about 9:30 at night, I'm going to rip you off. Just wanted to prepare you. How many of y'all have ever had that happen? All right. So that's something we're going to do. But since we don't have these high-tech index cards set up right now, other than Lucy, who brought hers, and I don't feel like I have the prayer life that I can multiply these into 5,000 index cards with numbers on them. However, if that does happen, really pray for those cards. Look at here. Somebody in here today is going to get saved. It's happening in all three services. I hope you can enjoy with me today like that daddy who was holding his 9-year-old, 10-year-old boy. Right over here in the corner of the altar, 9:30 service. This is amazing. Pastors, I really believe this. The day you cease to be amazed with people getting saved, quit. Do God a big favor and go be a greeter at Walmart. I promise you, your seminary education has trained you to do excellence at that. Other than that, you have to get a real job. Are we willing to participate in what's amazing today? Some of y'all got some stuff you need to clear up with God. How many of y'all just got some stuff you need to bring to God and say, I need to quit doing this so I can have a better life? God will work with you on that. Let's open the altar up. He's giving us time today. Lord, you want to see thousands come to heaven today. Come to know you today. Lord, we pray right now for whoever needs to be saved. You ready? Lord Jesus, come into my life. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Lord Jesus, I believe you died on the cross. You rose from the grave. That starts a revolution and a revelation in your life. Let that happen right now. Lord, I need to quit doing drugs. Just tell him. He'll take them away from you. Lord, I need to get my life straightened up in this area. He'll straighten it up. Lord, I need a wife. He'll send you one. Now don't be rejecting the ones he sends. And let God have your moment. Come on. Let's pray. This altar's open. People are getting baptized. They're getting saved. Come on. Don't stand there today. Come and kneel down. Even if you're a believer. How many of you believers need to say, God, I want my life to be used in such a way that people around me would know you're my God. Come on. Let them have it. Wide open. Come on. Altar's open. Let God move. Let God move.